So the hero goes for something. He doesn't just go along for the ride. He's not a mere adventurer.
Well, a serendipitous adventure can take place also. You know what the word serendipity comes from? It comes from the Sanskrit, Serendvipa, the Isle of Silk, which was formerly the name of Ceylon. And it's a story about a family that's just rambling on its way to Ceylon, and all these adventures take place. So you can have the serendipitous adventure as well.
Is the adventurer who takes that kind of trip a hero in the mythological
sense? He is ready for it. This is a very interesting thing about these mythological themes. The achievement of the hero is one that he is ready for, and it's really a manifestation of his character. And it's amusing the way in which the landscape and the conditions of the environment match the readiness of the hero. The adventure that he's ready for is the one that he gets.
Look, I ain't in this for your revolution, and I'm not in it for you, princess. I expect to be well paid.
The mercenary, Solo, begins as a mercenary and ends up as a hero.
He was a very practical guy, a materialist in his character, at least as he thought of himself, but he was a compassionate human being at the same time and didn't know it. The adventure evoked a quality of his character that he hadn't known he possessed.
I love you.
I know.
He thinks he's an egoist, he really isn't. And that's a very lovable kind of human being, I think, and there are lots of them functioning beautifully in the world. They think they're working for themselves, very practical and all, but no, there's something else pushing them.
What did you think about the scene in the bar?
That's my favorite, not only in this piece, but of many, many pieces I've ever seen. Well, where you are is on the edge. You're about to embark into the outlying spaces. And
A real adventure.
This is the jumping off place. And there is where you meet people who've been out there, and they run the machines that go out there, and you haven't been there. It reminds me a little bit in Robert Louis Stevenson's Treasure Island. The atmosphere before you start off the adventure. You're in a seaport, and there are old salt seamen who've been on the sea, and that's their world, and these are the space people also.
I got a bad feeling about this. The wall!
Don't just stand there! Try and brace it with something!
But my favorite scene was when they were in the garbage compactor, and the walls were closing in, and I thought, that's like the belly of the whale that Joe
Campbell... That's what it is. Yeah, that's where they were. Yeah, they were down in the belly of the whale.
What's the mythological significance of the belly?
It's the descent into the dark. Jonah in the whale. I mean, that's a standard motif of going into the whale's belly and coming out again.
Why must the hero do that?
The whale represents the personification, you might say, of all that is in the unconscious. In reading these things psychologically, water is the unconscious. The creature in the water would be the dynamism of the unconscious, which is dangerous and powerful and has to be controlled by consciousness. The first stage in the hero adventure, when he starts off on adventure, is leaving the realm of light, which he controls and knows about, and moving toward the threshold. And it's at the threshold that the monster of the abyss comes to meet him. And then there are two or three results. One, the hero is cut to pieces and descends into the abyss in fragments to be resurrected. Or he may kill the dragon power, as Siegfried does when he kills the dragon. But then he tastes the dragon blood. That's say he has to assimilate that power. And when Siegfried has killed the dragon and tasted the blood, he hears the song of nature. He has transcended his humanity, you know, and associated himself with the powers of nature, which are the powers of our life, from which our mind removes us. You see, this thing up here, this consciousness thinks it's running the shop. It's a secondary organ.